Grace and peace to you this fine day. We're jumping in on Thursday. Going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. We pray this will be a blessing in your life as we consider the request of James and John and how Jesus points to the meaning of his life. And we're doing this on Thursday because we want to stay thirsty. We want to make sure that our lives are searching out this Jesus who loves us and who pours out life for us. And so let's dive into that. So here we are, Mark 10, 35 to 45. And the text reads as this. Now James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Now when the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The word of the Lord. Well, in this gospel reading, we hear again some text that we've been hearing recently. This is the third and final passion prediction that Jesus makes in the Gospel of Mark. And just like before, the disciples can't seem to grasp what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. This is beyond their wildest dreams or imagination. And James and John are really struggling with this. I think they were focused in on the here and the now and earthly power, earthly fame, and they couldn't quite lift their eyes high enough to see the vision that Jesus was pointing to. So James and John simply here boldly ask Jesus allow them to sit at his side in glory. But Jesus responds to them by asking them if they really understand what it is that they want. And of course, their reply is, "Oh yeah, yeah, we know what we want." But Jesus still knows that they don't understand. And he reminds them that it is only the Son of God who can ultimately bring salvation to the world. The cup that he drinks, the passion out of which he lives, the death that he will die, the resurrection that he will undergo, all for the sake of salvation, making creation whole and well, restoring people again back to God. Now, at the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus teaches us about the discipleship journey here by saying that whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. That word slave here can be flipped back and forth between servant, slave. One who lays down life. One who goes to work for, on behalf of another. Well, then in verse 45, we're giving a one-sentence snapshot here of Jesus and his entire mission. It's all summed up right there in verse 45. He's here to serve, to die, and to set the world free. Yes, to serve, to die, and to set the world free. Now, there's other elements that are going on here that I want to teach on for a minute before I have some devotional kinds of questions for you to consider. Now, with James and John being focused on sitting next to the king, again, that would be in alignment with power or their own personal fame, of saying, we've arrived, we've made it, we're in that top court level with the king. But what's interesting here for people of faith to sit and pause and say, so who is at the right and left of Jesus, right? Well, have you ever considered here in this text of going over and looking at Mark chapter 15, verse 27, to see who's really at his right hand and his left? Well, it's a shocking thing to read, because if you go there, chapter 15, verse 27, here's the word. And with him, they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Here we are. Jesus was pointing to this, saying, do you really want to undergo what I undergo? Do you know what this is going to cost? Do you know how the world is going to strike me down? And so this baptism with which I'm baptized is this fire and this spirit that's descended upon me and has equipped me and raised me and called me to lay down my life for you. Do you know what you're saying? And this other element of this cup that he says, you know, in the garden, Father, take this cup from me. Let this cup pass from me. This mission, this call that I'm a part of. I don't want to do this. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Why does it have to be this way? Even Jesus yearned for an alternative way. And then Jesus in that garden eventually says, not my will, but yours, Lord God, recognizing that the way to life is through this death. The way to full life is through serving and pouring out life for the sake of others. And so look at that dynamic and sit with that this week, that the other reference to the right and the left here, shortly after James and John are having this conversation, it's the two bandits who are next to Jesus on the right and the left. And Jesus speaks promise to them. Jesus speaks full life to them. And so Jesus, even on the cross, is pointing to a high hope that God would have for humanity, that we would live, that we would really, really live. And so then, if we look at this discipleship journey, what are we to do with this? I think you and I could say that the path of discipleship is one that calls us to die to ourselves and to be raised a new life in Christ. We talk about that as a key teaching point of Martin Luther, that daily we die to self so that God can rise within us, that God can raise us to live as God's people. Not focused just on ourselves, but on what God is doing all around. So we die to self and raise to new life in Christ. But in our own faith life, much like James and John, we might search for ways to avoid being put to death, right? Who wants to do that? Who really wants to do that? And so we can skip straight ahead to the promise of new life. We want the joy, but we don't want the suffering. We want the outcome, the goal to be realized, but we don't want to count the cost of what it will take to do this. Well, Jesus, in that moment with James and John, and I think with us in our discipleship journey, patiently reminds us that the path of discipleship is not easy. And I don't have time on this podcast today, but go and do a little research on how all the disciples died. Jesus was really saying to them, again, this faith journey, I as your Lord and Savior here, this is going to cost you something if you're really going to live it. All except one dying a gruesome death in their faith, being asked to denounce and to reject their faith. And when they refused to do so, it cost them their life. Well, today in this text, we also hear that to be first means that we must be slave or all or servant of all. As disciples of Christ, we're called to serve our siblings all around the world so that we can be true witnesses to the life-changing reality of the kingdom of God. And I don't know where you most experience life, but I feel most alive in my faith when I'm serving together with people. When we've got the shirt sleeves rolled up and we're digging in, we're down in the trenches, making a difference in the lives of one another. And that can be going through grief in the valley of suffering. That can be in pouring a foundation and building a home. It can be serving together in a food line somewhere. It can be working to support refugees who have come into the country for the first time and are just seeking to find life and a chance at life, and how we can come alongside and get to know and fully serve, fully love, to live into their story with them so they too can experience a full life. There's so many ways. I think even with the disciples and Jesus, when they were out teaching and healing and feeding, and when the community was raising blind and lame people through roofs of homes or alongside the rivers to say, we want to be healed. And the way that you find healing is through the serving ministries of the world. And those who pour out their life through service are the ones restoring God's creation. And I think God and Jesus smile over that. I want you to imagine them smiling over that today. And so a few questions for you to consider on your journal thoughts. What personal wants and expectations do you need to get rid of? What personal wants and expectations do you want to get rid of or need to get rid of so that you can more fully live into that following Jesus? Number two, as disciples of Jesus, do we really understand what we've been called into? And are we willing to die to our own selves and embrace the cross in order to be raised to new life? As disciples of Jesus, do we really understand what we've been called into? That naming and that claiming function that God does with us in our baptism, with the sign of the cross in our foreheads that's there forever. How do we live into that and die to ourselves each day so that we can be raised to new life and we can do that for others in the world? And like James and John, have you ever tried to manipulate Jesus to get what you want? To negotiate, to do the dance, to figure out if there's a shortcut, a way to do this in an easier way? And if so, what was that shortcut that you tried to take? And then if you want to dig even deeper than that, you could journal a little bit about the kinds of doubts, worries, or concerns that you experience as you live a life of service. Name those doubts, worries, and concerns, but also take some time to identify the joy that you experience as you live a life of faith and service. Well, I want to share a story here to draw some of this together. Laying down life, finding your life through serving. One of those ministries that I was incredibly blessed to be a part of for so many years was working with Amor Ministries in Tijuana, Mexico. And this is when I was serving in Colorado, and for 12 straight years at Christmas time, over Christmas break, December 26th to December 31st, able to travel with teams of 15 to 40 people to build 1 to 3 homes every Christmas. And this was working through a pastor's network, people on the ground there who knew these families, who knew the hurts, who knew the hopes, who knew the needs. And then we were just invited in to come and build. And so we'd fly down and we'd get in our 12 passenger vans and we'd get across the border, and then we'd stay in like an open field in these tents. And every night we would have campfire and we'd sing and we'd pray and we'd discuss and talk and light candles, all those things, just living in the light of Christ. And each year just found so much significant meaning and purpose there. Well, one particular year we were building this home, and across the street there was a car that had been totally mangled. An accident had happened and the car was just sitting in this yard. Well, the family that we were building for, that was her brother's car. and then her the brother's car, but also the wife that we were building for. They all lived there together. And so he was in and out of the hospital with these injuries. And it had been his dream that one day they'd have a new home to live in. And so Amor put us on this site knowing that it was time to get that done. And in his life, he was really struggling. His life was coming to an end. He was going to overcome these physical challenges. And so we were there building, and on the third day of that build, we were notified that he died in the hospital that day. But before he died, he expressed to his family who was gathered that his dream had been realized, that his family was going to have a new home. And he was so thankful for that. Well, when the family came home that day and notified us, we left the site early so that they could be in peace and quiet there in their grief. And we did not know if we'd be able to go back the next day to finish the home. But the family later that day called Amor and said, yes, we want them to come in the morning and finish, because this was our brother's dream. And so we did. And most of the crew went there to finish stuccoing the house and putting in the doors and windows and making the place beautiful. And some of us went to the store and we bought groceries and all kinds of things to put in the home, because later that afternoon they were going to bring his body to the home. And they were going to gather there in a vigil through the night, and then the next morning proceed to the graveside. Well, church, I share that story with you today because right there, that's the call to service. Laying down life, entering into those thin places with people, to know true human suffering, but to recognize even there, God is at work. God is at work. And I'll always remember the campfire that night. I think the most powerful campfire of my 47 years of living that I've ever had. And there was one woman in that prayer circle who traveled many times. And she, so smart, so intelligent, a scientist and all of these great things. But when we'd sit under the stars, one of her testimonies that she gave that year was that coming to Mexico and serving there over Christmas break and being a servant among the people, she said, all the stuff in the world a lot of times doesn't make sense. But this right here makes sense. Yes, this right here makes sense. And for that family and for all of us gathered in the circle that Christmas, we all knew in our heart of hearts that yes, this makes sense. So it's not about being first or being last. It's not about some grand pecking order of things. It's not about patting ourselves on the back and pointing to greatness. It's about laying down life, entering into a life of service. And as we do that, to see how God speaks and how God is still at work in the world. And so, dear church, on this day, may you experience that full life that God has for you. And may you experience that most fully as you go out to live, love, and serve like Jesus. All right. Stay thirsty, my friends.